And I'm going to give you a text in just a little bit. We'll be jumping from text to text, so it'll be easier if you just look up on the board. But you can follow along in your Bibles if you like. The king is born. The spiritual that we sang earlier, the Christmas hymn, "Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians, and that's what the prophet was prophesying so many years ago. And that's where we'll begin in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 with the ancient prophecy. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." So you'll notice that this prophecy of Jesus' birth says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah." Now, there's a reason why it says Bethlehem Ephratah, because there were two Bethlehems. And so by specifying Bethlehem Ephratah, he was specifying which Bethlehem the Messiah would be born in. And Jesus was born in exactly that place. It's Bethlehem in Judah. "Though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." Now, there had already come a king that was ruler in Israel from Bethlehem of Judah. And that was King David. But the last part of this prophecy says, "whose going forth have been of old, from everlasting." And so that tells us that this king who would be born is going to be someone beyond David, someone who has always existed, and that is Christ. And so we're going to look at all of that as we go through. First of all, we'll look at King David, the Hebrew king. 1 Samuel 17:12. The Word of God says, "Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he," that is Jesse, "had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man." So that means that Jesse was old and he hung out with the old people in the days of Saul. So Jesse was David's father, and he lived in Bethlehem of Judah. And that's where King David was born. And of course, the Jews, even to this day, consider David to be their greatest king. And the Jewish flag, the Israeli flag, has the Star of David on it. And so David was a great king. And there was a prophecy. There's actually, this is repeated several times in the Old Testament, but it was prophesied that when the Messiah came, that he would be a descendant of David. The Messiah was to be a descendant of David, and he was prophesied that he would sit upon King David's throne. Now we will look at the ruling Christ, Matthew 2:6. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And so when Jesus Christ came, he fulfilled these prophecies about David. Jesus Christ descended from the family of David. Both Joseph and Mary were descendants of David. Now, Jesus was physically a child of Mary, and so he got his physical descendants from David through Mary. Of course, God is Jesus' father. And so Joseph was also a descendant of David. Now, the Jews, when they counted lineage or family, they counted it from the father, because the father set the legal lineage. And so Because Jesus was born to both Mary and Joseph, even though Joseph was not his real father, the point is that Jesus was considered Joseph's son, and legally he was a descendant of David through Joseph. So you had both a physical descendancy through Mary and a legal descendancy through Joseph. So Jesus Christ met the condition of being a descendant of David, which the Messiah had to be. The other thing is that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would sit on the throne of David. Now, Jesus hasn't done that yet. He came the first time and presented himself to the Jews as their king, and they rejected him, and he was crucified. And so he did not come the first time and reign from the throne of David, but he will come again, and he will reign on the throne of David, and he will reign from Jerusalem. The Bible says, "For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And understand that that's why Jesus was such a threat. You know, when Herod heard about Jesus' birth, that the king had been born, because the wise men came from the east. When the Magi came, they came to Herod and they said, "We're seeking this king, this ruler." And so Herod sent them to find him and told them, "Come back and tell me where he's at," because Herod was going to have, in fact, he did, he had all the babies killed from 2 years and under. And so Jesus, everyone knew that the Messiah was going to be born a king. And so he was a threat to the government at that time. But Jesus, again, he didn't come the first time to rule on the throne of Israel. He came the first time to die and to rise from the dead. He does have a kingdom. And that kingdom is in our hearts. And he's ruling and reigning in our hearts. Jesus has a kingdom on earth, but it's not a visible kingdom. It is a kingdom where people get saved and he rules in their hearts and lives on the earth. But one day he will return and set up a physical kingdom on this earth. Now we're going to look at another ruler, and this is the reigning Caesar, Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Now, this taxation census was decreed by the ruler in Rome, Caesar Augustus. And it was through this decree that Mary and Joseph, now remember that Mary and Joseph lived where? Nazareth. But it was through this decree of Caesar Augustus that Mary and Joseph had to go to the city of David, which was Bethlehem, and that Christ happened to be born in Bethlehem. Now, based on the prophecies that we've read already, where was the Messiah supposed to be born? Bethlehem. That's why at one point in time the Pharisees and the scribes had a disagreement, because they said, "Search the scripture, for no prophet arises out of Nazareth." Everybody knew that the prophet, that the Messiah would arise out of Bethlehem, but his family lived in Nazareth. So they said, "The prophet does not arise out of Nazareth." And so Jesus would not have been born in Bethlehem had this king, King Caesar, not made this decree that he go to Bethlehem. And King Caesar ruled the known world at that time. He ruled the great Roman Empire. So how is it that King Caesar would make this decree that would send them to Bethlehem? How would this happen? And that's because there was another king at work in this situation. It's Christmas. You're supposed to have bells and stuff ringing, so it's okay. But that leads us to the incarnate God in John 1:1 and John 14. "In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now recall the first prophecy we read that said that this king would be born in Bethlehem of Ephratah, or Bethlehem, Judah, and that his goings forth were from everlasting. Remember that? His goings forth are of old, even from everlasting. So, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The concept of the Word was very important in the ancient world. The Greeks had a concept of the Word, and the Romans had a concept of the Word, and the Jews had a concept of the Word. And they all saw the Word in different ways. They saw the Word as the ultimate truth, the ultimate ideal of goodness. And the Jews connected the Word to God because they had the Scripture, the Word of God. This is a very radical idea that John writes here, because John, you know, Matthew wrote his gospel to the Jewish people, and Mark wrote his gospel to the Romans. But John wrote his gospel to appeal to the world. And so when he's writing this gospel, he's using this concept of the Word to start it. And everyone would have understood this concept. And each society had these ideas of what the Word was. And the Word was something that was an ultimate ideal in philosophy. It was something that was the greatest, the best. And so John takes this idea under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he takes the ultimate truth and the ultimate goodness and the ultimate ideal, and he puts it all into a baby in Bethlehem. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was God. He was in the beginning with God. And so Jesus is the one who fulfills that prophecy that a king is going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, whose goings forth have been of old, even from everlasting. Because as far back as you can go, in the beginning, and John there is not talking about the beginning of creation, as Moses does in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But he's going before that. He's going to the beginning, possibly of time. In the beginning was the Word. And when he says, in the beginning was the Word, the beginning of time, if that's what he's talking about, is a point. There was a point at which time began, when God created time. But he says, in the beginning was the Word. That means that the Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ, already existed in the beginning. So in other words, you have a point in time, and before that, Jesus Christ already was. And so in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But then in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So there was a point in time in Bethlehem of Judea, when Mary and Joseph were sent by Caesar Augustus to that city for the taxation census, where they happened to be in that town and in a stable, Jesus Christ was born. And the Word, which had been made flesh with Mary being impregnated by the Holy Spirit, now the Word comes into the world. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I went to Bible college, of course, in Powell, Tennessee, and the president of our college, Dr. Clarence Sexton, passed away recently. They just had his funeral. And he had a sermon that he preached called The Emperor and the Baby. It was a great sermon. It was an excellent sermon. I preached it before. But in that, he took this idea of Caesar Augustus, the emperor, and contrasted it against the little baby, Jesus Christ, who was born. And he said, the greater king was the baby, Jesus Christ. You had Caesar Augustus and you had King Jesus, and the greater king was the baby, Jesus Christ. And so the reason that Caesar Augustus sent Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know that he was fulfilling prophecy. But the reason that all this happened is because the greater king, the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The greater king had made a prophecy that he would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah, and that had to happen. And so for it to happen, Caesar Augustus had to be moved to do this census that would ultimately send Mary and Joseph. And if you think about all the components that had to take place to get Jesus Christ born where it was prophesied that he would be born, it will just blow your mind to think about all the different components that had to take place to do this. And you think that the God who could do that is controlling things today. And so whatever happens in your life and whatever happens in the world, now understand that God doesn't make everything happen, but he allows things to happen. He doesn't make sin happen, but he allows it to happen. And if God didn't limit sin by his power and control, sin would overrun the world. So he limits it. Think of all the things that sin would do if God did not limit it. And God works all this stuff together to accomplish his plan. And ultimately that plan is for Jesus Christ to return and set up his kingdom on the earth. And in the meantime, God is establishing a kingdom in our hearts as he saves people and he calls people out for his name. And so the word that came to Bethlehem, the same power that caused the great Caesar Augustus to send Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem so that Jesus Christ would be born in fulfillment of prophecy, that same God, that same word, came into this world as a man, died on a cross for our sins, for your sins and my sins and all the sins of the whole world. He was buried and he rose again from the dead, and he offers us entrance into his kingdom by faith. And if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross and I receive Jesus Christ by faith. If by faith you'll receive him, he'll come into your life and you'll become a part of his kingdom. There's a lot of people this Christmas that are lonely, that are seeking something and they don't know what they're seeking. And we as Christians have the hope. We have the answer. We have Christ. And it's up to us to share it. Because just like Roger said, you know, God brought him through this surgery and he believes he has some purpose. There's somebody that he's supposed to talk to or something he's supposed to do here. And God brought him through all this. Well, God has you here for a purpose too. There's not anybody here in this building. Think of the people that aren't here today that are sick, that would have liked to have been here, but you had health. You had the ability to be here this morning. And so the fact that you're here this morning, God has a purpose for you being here, and God has a purpose for me being here. And we don't understand everything that God's working, but we understand that the same God that was powerful enough to fulfill this prophecy and have Jesus Christ be born in Bethlehem Ephratah, that that same God is fulfilling his plan in your life and in my life and in the lives of everybody in the world. And he's calling people out for his name, and he's saving people. And we as Christians have a duty to spread this message during this coming year and this Christmas. So when you have opportunities and people talk to you and you have an opportunity to share your testimony or share your faith, do it. Because that may be God's opportunity that he's given you, and it may be the thing that causes that person to be saved and to come into the kingdom of Christ.